The Time Traveler's Guide to Not Getting Caught. Chapter 7. That time I helped Michelangelo paint the Sistine Chapel. So I get back to the present, and I start to feel pretty bad about abandoning my child in a time when lions ate human babies. But then I felt better after binging The Office, and to be perfectly honest, I kind of just forgot about the whole cave baby thing. Time heals all wounds, and it had been 70,000 years, so I was quickly able to get over it. The first thing I did when I got home was apply some Desitin to my butt, because it had gotten pretty sore using twigs and leaves to wipe it over the last month. Then I laid down on my bed, and it felt amazing, since I had been sleeping in a sleeping bag in a cave. I woke in the middle of the night because I was still jet-lagged, or time-lagged, from being in the past so long, and my sleep schedule was still a little wonky, so I decided to play Assassin's Creed 2, and as I'm playing, I realize how cool the Renaissance seems, and I think, well, duh, that's definitely a time period I should go visit since it's supposedly one of the most interesting eras in human history, and the women didn't look half bad either. So I go back to sleep and I wake up in the morning all excited about my trip, but first, I'd have to get the proper clothes, and so I look up nearby Renaissance fairs, but I realize I had just missed one a couple weeks ago, and I think, just my luck. But then I remember, I can go back in time 2 weeks and go there and buy an outfit. So my luck was actually not that bad at all. So I travel to the Renaissance fair and I find myself amongst a bunch of people who wish they were about to take the trip I was soon to embark on. My first thought was, I feel bad I get to experience the Renaissance firsthand when these people would enjoy it so much more than me. But then my second thought was, well, I guess I really don't care that much about how they feel. So I'm walking around the fair and I think, well, I could actually do some research while I'm here. You know, so I don't make the same mistakes I've made so far in my travels, like impregnating a cave woman. The first thing I realize at the fair is that apparently everything in the Renaissance is ye old. And the second thing I realize is that I was getting pretty bored. So I decide to go to the clothing store and just buy some of the old-timey clothes and wing it because, I mean, what's the worst that could happen? So I head into ye old shop and I grab some Renaissance clothes from the rack and I take them with me to the dressing room and I try them on and I think, great, this actually looks pretty good. But then I see how much it costs, so I decide instead of buying it, I would just borrow the clothes and then return them at some point when I get back to the present, along with that kid's 1776 clothes. Yeah, that's what I'll do. So I put in 1508 on my watch and then the Tudes for Rome, and the next thing I know, I'm in the Renaissance. My first thought was, this actually does kind of look like Assassin's Creed 2. My second thought was, I kind of feel like playing Assassin's Creed 2. So I look around at all the different shops and buildings and I realize that none of them say ye old anything. Probably because at the time they weren't old, but they didn't even say ye present either. So I felt better not having done more research at the Renaissance fair, since it became abundantly clear that I couldn't trust whatever they had to teach me anyway. So I head over to the Colosseum because I think, why the hell not, when in Athens. I mean, when in Rome, do as the Romans. So I make my way over to the structure and I think, this is pretty cool. I mean, maybe I should go back in time to when they were gladiators. But then I thought about it and realized ancient Rome was kind of similar to ancient Athens and I didn't want to be redundant in my travels, so instead, I just decided I would watch Gladiator when I got home. So I continue through the city, exploring like I had grown accustomed to doing. And then I spot some sort of sculpture unveiling in a square, so I go and lo and behold, there's Raphael. Like, the Raphael. Not the turtle, but the artist. Although, to be perfectly honest, I had no idea he was actually a real person until that very moment. And so he shows everyone his sculpture, and everyone's clapping. And he says something in Italian or Rome or Latin. Not sure what they spoke in 16th century Rome. Now, by this time, I'd gotten pretty good at pretending to listen to people who spoke in a language I couldn't comprehend. And if you were there and you saw me, I bet you would have looked at me and thought, I actually knew what he was saying. I had the urge to go up to Raphael and tell him I was his biggest fan. But really, I just wanted to befriend him to see what sort of parties famous artists in the Renaissance got invited to. I was about to go up when I stopped myself and I thought, well, he probably doesn't understand English. So instead, I covertly follow him as he makes his way through Rome because I think, maybe he'll go somewhere interesting and I can just kind of, you know, slip in. So he walks for a while until he finally gets to this ye old building. And just like in 18th century Philadelphia, the door was unlocked. And so I walk in and I realize I'm in some sort of Renaissance gentleman's club. I look up and I see Raphael speaking with some sort of old-timey bouncer and I think, well, damn, Maybe there is some sort of security for this thing, so maybe it's best if I hide and just sneak my way in when he leaves? So I hide behind a corner and I wait for the guy to go, but he just keeps standing there, unrelenting. So I pull out my fidget spinner that I had stowed away in my pocket and I start playing with it as I wait for him to take a whiz or something, and then finally, after what had to be at least several minutes, the guy leaves and I head into the gentleman's club. I'll tell you one thing about this place. The men here love velvet because everything seemed to be covered in it. So I take a seat in a chair and I'm immediately met by a waiter who brings me a glass filled with some sort of drink. And I figure, all right, I guess I'll drink whatever this is. And so I do, and it tastes really good. And so I wave down another waiter and I drink another. And soon, I'm as drunk as Ben Franklin during a thunderstorm. And that's when I spot a man I recognize from Assassin's Creed, Leonardo da Vinci in the flesh. He was standing in front of a few men, telling some sort of anecdote or joke, and the men were extremely interested, so I walk over, and I do my best not to look too drunk, and I plop down on the couch and I listen to this genius talk about something, and I hear the guys around him laugh, and so once again, I laugh harder than them all, and then Leonardo's voice gets lower, as if he were about to reach the climax of his joke. And then he turns around for a brief moment as everyone waits in anticipation, and then he turns back around. And you might not believe this, but it's the truth. And I certainly wouldn't want to wrongfully besmirch any historical figure's reputation, but Leonardo da Vinci turns back around, and I swear to God, his dick was out. The other men see his dick and laugh hysterically, and I'm thinking, whoa, did Leonardo da Vinci just use his dick as a prop for the climax of a joke? And then he puts his dick away and everyone shakes his hand, pleased with his joke, and I'm thinking, that hand just touched his dick. But then I thought, is it really that gross to shake Leonardo da Vinci's hand after he touched his dick? I mean, the man looked clean. And when would I ever have another time to shake his hand? So I get up and I shake his hand. And as our fingers touch, I get flashbacks to Socrates and I wonder if this guy is going to kiss me or not. But he didn't. He just smiles at me. And I smile back. I'm not saying I was disappointed or anything. Why do you keep looking at me like that? I didn't want him to kiss me. I didn't know if he was going to do it or not, and he didn't. And I was relieved that he didn't, okay? So then all the guys start talking with Leonardo. I think by this time I had reached a first name basis with him after seeing his dick. And that's when Raphael, I'm also on a first name basis with him because I don't know his last name, joins the group. And then this other guy appears and I hear Leonardo say, Michelangelo! Then gibberish, and now I'm thinking, holy shit, I'm with Leonardo, Raphael, and Michelangelo. 3/4 of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and that's when I got a hankering to watch the TMNT movies. Well, not the third one or the remakes, but really the first one. I basically just wanted to watch part 2 where all the creatures got really big. It was at this point I realized there are a lot of movies that I wanted to watch when I got back home, and that I probably should start writing them all down before I forget. So I look around for some sort of paper or parchment, and I find something that looks like paper, and then I got a quill and I start writing down my list. And that's when I notice a pair of eyes watching me, and it's Michelangelo. And at first, I'm afraid. Because I'm wondering, why is Michelangelo watching me? But then I'm like, well, should I really be that scared? If something happens, I could just go back to the present. It's not like he could actually hurt me. So Michelangelo glances at my handwriting, and he looks mesmerized. As if my handwriting were in some way magnificent, which, I mean, sure, it's a little magnificent, but I wouldn't think someone who sculpted David would think my writing was some sort of masterpiece or something, you know? So Michelangelo calls over Leonardo, and I hear the word Englishman. Now I'm thinking, I hope they don't hate Englishmen. And then Leonardo comes over and he talks to me in English, and he asks me my name. And then I tell him my name, and then he says he's Leonardo. And then he tells me I dropped something. So I look down, but I don't see anything. But I don't want to look stupid, so I look around for a few seconds until I finally look back up. And then I see Leonardo has his dick out again. And now I'm face to face with Leonardo da Vinci's dick. And he and the other Ninja Turtles laugh, and I think, damn, I would be perfectly fine going the rest of my life never having to see Leonardo da Vinci's flaccid dick ever again. Or erect dick, for that matter. So he tells me he's just joking and that Englishmen never have a good sense of humor. And I say, sorry, I'm not used to having dicks in my face. And he says, how can you live life to its fullest if you've never had a dick in your face? Now, I feel like there's some sort of deeper meaning to what he said, but to this day, I still can't figure it out. Then Leo asks me where in England I'm from, and I say London because it's the only city I know in England. And then he asks me if I know a friend of his, and he names a name, and I say, no, sorry, I don't. And then he asked me if I know another person, and I said, no, I don't know that person either. And this continues for the next 30 to 35 seconds where we play the name game, and every time I end up not knowing anyone, he says. And then Leo says he's having some people over at his place for a card game, and he asked me if I want to play. And so, of course, I say yes, because when Leonardo DiCaprio, I mean Da Vinci, asks you to play cards at his place, you say yes. Although I would think the same would be true if it was DiCaprio. So I go with the gang to Leo's place, and my first thought was, man, I'm getting really lucky in all my travels coming across a bunch of famous people. And then my second thought was, well, I didn't really have a second thought to that one. So we get to Leo's house and he shows me around and I'm smiling and nodding as if it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. But I've seen a 70-inch UHD TV before, so I'm really not that impressed by your lavish 16th century house, Leonardo da Vinci. So we go to the living room where he has a table set up and I sit down, and then Leo and the guys take their seats around the table as one of his servants. Or I guess it could have been his wife. I don't really know. I don't know why I jumped to servant. I mean, it might have been his wife. Pours us wine, and then Leo deals the cards. He asked me if I know how to play, and because I didn't want to look like a buffoon who didn't know how to play, I said, of course, we Englishmen are great at cards. So he deals the cards, and I watch all the other guys to see what they're doing, and I try to mimic their gameplay. But I don't understand what the hell is happening. Then we have to show our cards, and I reveal mine, but they all look at me like I'm crazy for staying in. And Leo says something in Italian, or whatever language it was, and they all laugh at me, and I'm thinking, you can go to hell, Leonardo da Vinci and other Renaissance artists. Now I made it my mission to beat all these assholes at cards, even though I had no idea how to play the game. So we continue playing, and for my benefit, the guys all speak in English, and they're pretty good at the language for the most part, except Raphael, who didn't know that much, and to be perfectly honest, seemed like he felt he was too good to actually learn English, like he was above it or something, which kind of pissed me off, especially because he was only Raphael. Like, he wasn't even Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci. Like, dude, know your place. So we continue playing and I lose every hand. And now I start to think these old-timey folk are actually screwing with me, but I have no proof. And I mean, what am I going to do about it anyway? I had to take a leak. So I ask Leo where the outhouse is and he says, outside. So I go outside and I find the outhouse, and hanging in front of the toilet hole is this beautiful work of art. And I'm thinking, that's a weird place to put a beautiful work of art. But then I figure, he has so many works of art that of course he can hang one in the outhouse. So I come back in, and when I get there, not only is Leo's dick out again, but so are all the others. It was like they were mooning me, but with their dicks. And that's when I understood why the Renaissance art is filled with dicks, because the artists are obsessed with them. So we continue playing the card game until I lose all my money. And then Leo tells me it's time for me to pay up. And I say, well, do you take credit card? And he says, no, but we break kneecaps. So now I start to inch towards my watch, ready to leave. When they all start laughing and they say they're joking and they do this to Englishmen who visit, and I force a laugh because I don't want them to think I'm some sort of Englishman with a bad sense of humor. And then he tells me it's time for bed, but tomorrow they'll show me around Rome, and I'm like, okay, I guess. So Leo tells me I can sleep in one of his extra rooms, but at this point, I'm afraid he's gonna pull some sort of Lorena Bobbitt thing and cut my dick off while I sleep. So I promised myself if that were to ever happen, I would travel back into time to this very moment and warn myself my dick was going to get cut off. My future self didn't appear, so I figured it was safe for the night. The sun rose, and I awoke, and I instantly checked my undercarriage and was pleased to discover I was fully intact and could still make love to a cavewoman if I so pleased. So Leo, Mike, and Raph take me on a tour through Rome, and Mike says he's been working on a project for the Pope and asked me if I want to see it. I actually didn't want to see it because it felt like he was just wanting to brag about how talented he was, but I went anyway because I didn't want to be rude. And I didn't want one of them to show me their dicks again as some sort of punishment. So he takes me to the Sistine Chapel and points up at the ceiling and asks me what I think. And I say, it's all right, but there are a lot of dicks. And he gets all indignant and says, you can never have too many dicks. Now, having been part of an ancient orgy, I know for a fact that there can be too many dicks in one place at one time, and there are just too many dicks in this painting. So Mike says, well, aside from the dicks, what do you think? And that's when I spot God and Adam hanging out next to each other, and God is holding a thumbs up, like he's saying, don't worry, everything's gonna be okay. And that's when I say, Mikey, you know what would make this better? And he asks me what, and I say, well, there's this famous English picture called E.T., the extraterrestrial. And in it, E.T. puts his finger out and touches Elliot's finger and heals him. And I say, it'd be pretty cool if instead of a thumbs up, God is doing an E.T. and reaches out to Adam and touches his finger.
And Mikey looks at me and nods emphatically and says something in Italian. And I'm like, all right, I think it's time for me to leave. And so I say, I'll be right back. and I head out into the hallway and I'm about to go back to the present,
when I spot this guy at the end of the hall and he's looking down at his wrist, almost if he had a watch on, but they didn't have wristwatches in the Renaissance. So I was confused, but he's too far away that I can't really see for sure. And then he taps on the object on his wrist, and then suddenly, the guy disappears into thin air. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe and rate the podcast to help me get more of the positive attention I so sorely need. Follow the show on Instagram at Time Traveler's Guide Podcast, and me at Anonymous Time Traveler 69. New episodes out Thursday nights at 8.